can tell me if the drum is coming.
It's nice to see you all again. Thank you for coming. And I'm very happy to be here. Anyone here for the first time tonight? Welcome. Welcome to the house. Do you have a place to sit? Would you like to sit down? Please give her a place. Anyone else here for the first time tonight? Welcome. Thank you for coming. This drum I'm holding is called a kol. It comes from Bengal originally. And there's a cousin of this drum called the tabla. And it is it looks similar to this. Two ends, a big end and a small end. But then it's kind of cut in half and they stay horizontal on the floor. Have you seen those? Tabla? So this is a unique kind of drum because, well, first of all, it's made out of clay. And then they use ahimsa leather, a leather which comes from cows that die naturally. And on the end, there's some clay, and it's called a gob. So it makes a certain tone, according to how they stretch it. The difference between this drum and a tabla, of course a tabla you can't walk around because it sits on the floor. But this drum is specifically designed so that you can put a strap over your shoulders and then you can walk around and play the drum. So it was really designed to walk around town. And it has a very nice sound. You know, everyone likes a parade, don't they? Do you like parades? Let's hear from the kids. Kids, you like parades? Yeah? So you can parade around town with the drum. It's kind of an unusual thing. There are a lot of sounds in the world today. Cars moving, machines moving, people talking. But the drum makes a particular sweet sound, and particularly this drum is meant for playing and singing. And going around and singing. Today, we were outdoors, and we had a group of the devotees here from the community, and Radha Mohan was playing on the drum, the kol, and then there were some kartalas playing also. The kartalas, the hand cymbals. And they were singing on a street corner. And people were driving by, very enthusiastically waving and honking the horns, happy to hear the sound of singing. Music and rhythm are natural. They're universal. And when you add prayer to the singing and the rhythm and the music, it has a way of entering within the body in even a more profound way. Actually, these bodies look like they're solid, but they're very porous, actually. There's openings all over the whole body. Not just the benign openings like the eyes and ears. In some places, like the Bhagavad Gita, the body is called the city of nine gates. But there's also pores all over our bodies. It's actually a very fluid thing, the body. It's made mostly of water. And so I say it's porous. It means it has many openings. And wherever we go, we absorb the vibration. In the Bhagavad Gita, which you've heard about, but you've met personified by Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhukte Prakriti Janguna Karanam Guna Sangosya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. He gives this very simple directive about how we are as we are, why we are as we are. He says, because of our Sangha. Sangha means our association. Whomever, whatever we associate with, we take on the qualities of that person or that thing. Do you find that to be true? That's why people form associations. Name two. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That was a gimme. How's another, what about another one?
Human Rights Association.
Real Estate Association. Anybody belong to an association? Huh? Toronto Vegetarian Association. Anyone else belong to an association? Canadian Dental Association. Anyone else belong to an association? No? Everyone's working independently? There's so many associations. Everyone wants to associate. Why? Because wherever you associate, you take on those qualities. It gives you impetus to move forward in a certain way in life, right? And even if we're not doing it consciously, when we associate in certain ways, we take on qualities because we're porous. The vibration, the sound, the energy, it enters through our body. It enters. We have a gross body and we have a subtle body. In the Bhagavad Gita, the subtle body is described as the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. These are considered to be subtle elements. And they're affected. Everyone knows they're affected. The whole science of psychology is about how we get affected by our surroundings and, you know, our upbringing, right? Who we've associated with makes a big difference in our life. What family we grew up in, what society we grew up in. We grew up in a certain society, we do things in a certain way. And we just think that's the way it is. Right? Why? When we're born, come out of the womb, and then some people come and slap a name tag on us and say, your name is William. But that wasn't your name 5 seconds before. You've come into a world of designation and you join a particular family and society. And you associate in a certain way, and therefore you develop qualities. So Krishna says, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Jangunam Karanam Gunasangosya Sadasat Yoni Janmasu. This is the Sanskrit verse which describes this science of association. That by your Sangha, Sangha means whoever you connect with. Like this finger on my hand is called an Anga, because it's part of my hand. It's joined to the hand, so it's an Anga. So a Sa Anga means who you associate with, how you connect in the world. Krishna says, is the cause. Karanam means the cause. Karanam Gunasangosya. Sadasat Yoni Jamasu. Very poetical language, actually. He says that Karanam Gunasangosya, that when you associate with different modalities in this world, and he names three in the Bhagavad Gita. One is called goodness, in Sanskrit, sattva. It's the mode considered to be illuminating. It's the mode in which I don't need to move so much, not out of laziness, but out of a sense of fullness. I don't need to go too many places. I don't need to acquire too many things when I'm affected by the modality of sattva, goodness, because I already know that I am something. I am something. I exist. And I don't just exist for a few years or within a context of being a Canadian or an American, but I exist always. This is Sattva-gun. Gun means modality in Sanskrit. Krishna says that the world and people around us are charged with these three modalities. Another modality is called rajas, also sometimes translated as passion. It's the modality of movement. I'm always moving. And I always want to become something else, something more. I'm using my intelligence to figure out how to advance. Like, how many new iPhones are there going to be, do you suppose? What are we up to now? G4, right? What was wrong with G3? Anything? Do you have any idea? Anything wrong with G3? Huh?
It wasn't big enough.
It wasn't big enough. Right. It's not big enough. Years ago, people used to live in smaller dwellings, but they weren't big enough. We needed bigger buildings. Someone figured out how to do it. In New York City, there weren't many high-rise buildings, and still, somebody invented the steel cable. Flexible enough to pull an elevator car up over many, many floors. Before that, they couldn't do it, so they couldn't build higher buildings. But when someone figured it out, he used rajas, the mode of passion, to figure out, how are we going to get a steel cable that'll carry an elevator car to a higher level? And when he did it, you know what happened? Bigger buildings. All over New York now. Because of that invention. Are we better off? Are we happier now that we have a G4? Yeah? But what about the G5? Because if you buy the G4 now and the G5 comes out 2 weeks from now, you're really going to feel sad, right? Isn't it? You're already in anxiety thinking about it. I know I am. This is the mode of passion. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita that there's no peace in the mode of passion. There's activity. I'm moving all the time. I'm thinking, what's the next best thing? What's the next greatest thing? What's the next bigger thing? In sattva, I don't have that. I'm satisfied. I can sit anywhere and be happy. Why? Because I am something. I exist. That's good enough. I exist. I don't have to become more. I'm already there. I'm happy. This is illumination. That means knowledge. It's coming from within. It's natural. When we're purified, it's the pure mode in sattva. Rajas, I have to move. I can't sit still. Got to be better. Got to be improved. In advertising, what's the biggest word in advertising? Anybody here in advertising? Some of you are entrepreneurs, you know all about this. What do you got to say when you advertise something that really moves a product? What is it? Huh? Sale? I was looking for the word new. No. New and improved. It's always got to be new. Something new, new, new. So this is the mode of passion, and then we have the mode of tamas. This is a mode where there's darkness or inertia or laziness, which is a very painful situation because I may think of all kinds of nice things to do, but I really can't move myself to do them. I can't get off the mat. I can't move forward. And there are different kinds of happiness and determination, which we can discern by looking at these modes. For instance, happiness in the mode of ignorance, tamas, according to the Bhagavad Gita. It is suffering in the beginning and it's suffering at the end. But I still can't stop doing it. sometimes people take to really extreme forms of intoxication, and practically they're killing themselves by taking some intoxication. The word toxic is in that. People drink alcohol. You really shouldn't ingest something that you can ignite. But people do it all the time. And then they become addicted in a certain way and they can't stop doing it, even though it's destructive. It may ruin their family, may ruin their health, they may lose all their money, but they still can't stop doing it. This is the nature of tamas, or darkness, ignorance. You know, these words, modality, it's also called guna, and another translation of that in Sanskrit is rope. Do you ever feel like that? Like you're tied down to a certain kind of mindset? Or a kind of work or activity? All the time? Good. Thanks for saying that. I was thinking maybe it was just me. Yeah. All the time. And that's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also. Would you like to hear about happiness in the mode of passion? You sure?
Yes.
Okay, happiness in the mode of passion is defined like this. It's pleasurable in the beginning, but miserable in the end. Can you identify with that?
Yes.
There are all kinds of so-called happiness in this world that seem like a great idea. It seemed like a great idea at the time. You got caught up in the moment. And it was pleasurable for a little while, for a little while. And then later on, you have to suffer. It comes back to bite you. That's passion. And it can bite really hard, too. It binds. These modalities, these ropes, they're very difficult to undo. And Krishna says, Tribir gunamayer bhaver evi sarvamidam jagat mohitam navijanati mabidya paramavyayam. Everyone's controlled by these modalities in the world. How about happiness in goodness, sattva-gun? You want to hear that one?
Yes.
It's miserable in the beginning and you know the answer. Pleasurable in the end, right? Any example?
Krishna consciousness.
She's saying Krishna consciousness. Many different kinds of discipline are like that. Maybe difficult in the very beginning, maybe some kind of suffering to hold yourself to some austerity, to do something that's worthwhile, right? Maybe even exercising. But then afterwards, the endorphins are flowing in your body and you feel happy. In the beginning, it was miserable to go and move your body and to do something. So, these modalities, Krishna says, karanam guna sangosya. It's because of my association, even proximity to these various modes, that cause my happiness and distress in this world and my various situations. You may ask, how did I get here? Why am I suffering? Is there an answer to that question? Is there an answer to that question? Why am I suffering? Is there one single answer? Yes, there is. I'm suffering in this world due to the rebound effect. Due to karma. Karma means that whatever I do has a subsequent reaction. And if I've harmed someone else, then later on I will be harmed. If I've taken from someone else, then later on it will be taken from me. Well, I may say, I didn't take anything from anybody today. Why did I lose my wallet? Why am I suffering now? But Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita that we exist eternally as spiritual entities. And we're passing through one life after the next. And whatever we do in each one of those lives has a cumulative effect. And we bring that same karma with us into the next life. Not only that, whatever modalities we've associated with previously in this life will become the cause of our present consciousness and whatever we're associating with and whomever we're associating with right now will shape our future. And therefore Krishna says, karnam gunasangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Yoni means the womb. So, karnam gunasangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. I'm born from various wombs. Here, there, and everywhere because of my association. So, here's in a simple way, something profound that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that everyone can think about and apply in their own life is the science of association. You can be sure, according to the science of Bhagavad Gita, as given to us directly by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, that how I associate myself in this world, whom I associate with, will have a very direct effect on my consciousness and the mode of nature that I live in. So back to the coal. This drum is meant for going about town. That's why it has a strap and it has two ends. You can carry it and walk around. So, the people who invented this drum had an idea in mind, and that was to walk around various places and to sing while they were going and to play the rhythm. And the reason that they did was because there is a way to become unaffected by the three modalities that I mentioned. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, which bind us. Even the mode of goodness is considered to be a binding force. But there is a higher mode. It's above even goodness. And this is the coveted spiritual mode. Now, why would I be interested in that? Because everything comes from the spiritual platform. The ability to move your body is because the spirit is present within the body. And as soon as it leaves the body becomes useless. Is that true? The most beautiful movie star in the world, revered, gazed upon by millions, desired by many. When she leaves her body, how many people are interested in calling them? Practical, right? Where is the science? Where is the discussion? Which university? Millions of books. Libraries all over the world. And where is the discussion of what is the difference between a dead body and a living body? That is the subject of Bhagavad Gita. What is actually important in life? What is a saintly person? A saintly person, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is a saragrahi. It's someone who actually can take the essence out of everything, can see the most important principle behind everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hastami, Shuni Chaiva Shopake Cha, Pandita Samadarshina. He defines what a learned person is. Do we have a definition in modern society of what a learned person is? If so, what is it? What is it? I didn't hear.
A person with a high qualification is considered to be.
What kind of qualification?
High.
Like education?
Yeah. The
So through education, if you have a high degree of learning in the university, learn it in modern society, okay? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the definition of a learned person, a pundit, is one who can see sameness in a priest, in a low-class, unlearned person, in an elephant, and a dog. Sees the same soul and sees that the body is only a covering for that soul and that the real essence is the spirit. That is a learned person, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Visaragrahi is able to see the essence. So I ask, what are we actually seeing day to day? Who are we actually seeing? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the 18,000 verse conversation between a great king who had 7 days to live and the most learned sage of the time, Shukadeva Goswami, discussing what is the duty of a person at the time of death. And within the context of that discussion, one great sage tells a story about a king from the Ushinara province who was a great warrior. And in a battle of epic proportions, he fought with valorous strength, but he died. When he died, he was biting his lip. When his queens, and he had many, found him on the battlefield, his teeth were still biting his lip to show his valor in the fight. His limbs were broken, and although he had a valuable crown on his head, it was covered with dust, and his beautiful black hair was scattered in every direction. His face was ashen, and he lay there still as can be. And they surrounded him and began to cry, actually to wail. And then a small boy appeared there and asked them all, "Why are you crying?" And they said collectively, "He's gone, he's gone." And the little boy said, "Gone? He's right there. Just see." And they said, "You don't understand, he's gone." And he said, "The same eyes are there, the same nose, he has the same arms and legs. How are you saying he's gone?" And they said, "Who are you, little boy?" And he was the great demigod, Yamaraj, the great devotee of the Lord who oversees those who are leaving one body and going to the next and presides over that process. And he began to explain to them the science of self-realization, of how the soul passes from one body to the next, and we don't actually see him because we're not saragrahi. We're not seeing the essence. I'm seeing only the outside covering, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. It's just like a coat, it's just like a shirt, the body. You know, in India, when someone dies, they put them on a palanquin and take them around before the burning process in many places, in some of the cultures of India. Chanting, Ram Naam Satya Hai. At that time, I can realize there's something more to this than just a body that's a person. There's something I didn't see. This is called Smashana Vairagya. this kind of feeling of detachment, introspection. I'm looking to see more when someone dies. Shmashana means ashes, means the crematorium. The time I go and I see the bodies burned before me, I become shocked. How could this be? Because the whole time I'm accepting the body as the self. But it's not. The active principle behind the body is the spiritual soul. And as soon as it leaves the body becomes useless. From dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Simply passes away again. Back into the elements. And the soul moves onward. So the transcendental mode, beyond ignorance, passion, and goodness, is the aim of the process of Krishna consciousness. It's not a sectarian thing. It's not a sectarian teaching. It's not cultural. Although it appears to be in a cultural context, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with discovering what is my real interest. What is the real essence of my life? One who discovers this actually has power in this world. The power to move freely without being controlled by the three modes of material nature. This is a free person. Money does not free us. Our political associations do not free us. Political regimes come and go, and people make a big deal. They come out and they exalt their side and they push them forward. This time, maybe, we'll have utopia. But it falls short. Everything falls short unless it's based on the principle of the soul. So the process of bhakti yoga means, due to lack of time, to bypass all the other aspects of life and go right for the essence. The chanting of the Maha Mantra, which is the great mantra for deliverance, deliverance from the control of the modes of nature. Is a mantra that comes from the Vedas. The Kali Santarana Upanishad lists this mantra as the great mantra for the age of Kali Yuga, which will lift us above the three modes of material nature. Today, when we are going around Toronto, door to door, we met some very interesting people. Shall I tell you about them?
Yes.
I was with my wife near Kula. We were way down this long hallway in this apartment building. Don't ask me how we got in. No, actually, it was easy. We were down a long hallway, and there weren't many people home. They were probably in church. So I saw a man coming out from a doorway. So I called him down the hallway and recognized that he was Chinese. I've spent some time in China. And so I said something to him in Mandarin, and he responded. So we walked down the hallway and met this man. And you know, before I left the car, we had taken some books. We take Bhagavad Gita's and other books out to show people door to door. And Milan had handed me this gigantic Bhagavad Gita in Mandarin. And I was thinking the whole day, how am I going to sell this book? How am I going to meet somebody that speaks Chinese? And it was really weighing me down. It was a heavy book. And there he was. So I took that Bhagavad Gita and I showed it to him. And I explained some of the things that we're talking about today. Such a nice person. And he became emotional. He wanted that book. He became attached to it immediately. He recognized its value. And he recognized that we had no motivation to be there. We weren't trying to recruit him or to make money from him. We were trying to do something good. He recognized all that. Living entities are very perceptive. Even animals know when you're trying to do good for them. Human beings also know if you're trying to cheat them. Problem is, everyone's trying to cheat everyone, one way or another. But he had this perception that we were actually trying to do something good. And he recognized that this book was substantial. And he became emotional. He told us that everyone needs to be lifted up, because the world's a very lonely place. And it's a very hard place to move in. And he said that he had been praying for some kind of assistance in his life, and now he felt like this was a lifeline for him. My point is that actually this is the natural urge of every living entity, to find something great. And the Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedas are describing the greatest, Brahman. What is the greatest thing? And they say, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now is the time to inquire. Now you've come to the human life. What is it for? What is the human life for? It's for inquiry about the greatest thing. Everyone's doing good things, but what about the greatest thing? Don't miss the greatest thing, being busy doing good things. This is what the Vedas say. Tamasi ma jyotirgamai. Come to the light. Come to the brightest light. Find that thing. Satisfy the urge in your soul to actually come back home. This is not our home, the Vedas say. We're not meant to be moved on. We're not meant to have severed relationships. We are meant to live in complete happiness. And in this life, as human beings, we have full opportunity to do that. That is the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our founder, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, came to America, crossed the ocean, which is taboo. When you're a brahmana in India, people tell you, don't cross the ocean. You'll become contaminated. You'll give up your caste. You'll lose everything. Many people come to the West to make money or to find their fortune. He already had his fortune. And it wasn't money, because he didn't have any. He lost it all. But he had the Bhagavad Gita. He had that message. And he brought it to America to distribute. And those who met him knew he's not cheating. He's actually giving. And it's not easy to give also, because not everyone wants to take, do they? You see many movements around the world where people are spreading some philosophy. Many political movements where people are murdered and forced to accept the philosophy. Is not history full of these instances? Yes. Read the history. It's one war after another. There are inquisitions. There are torturings. There are forced conversions everywhere. Because people have their own intelligence. They don't want to be forced. So when he came to give something, people took it, because his motive was to offer everyone an opportunity to find out for themselves how to go back home, how to reach the perfection of life. So we have this building here, we have this organization, and it's really about this. How to find true happiness. How to find the essence in life. And that is available in the Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who reads it for themselves will see. It's revered by the greatest thinkers and scholars all over the world. And it is meant for everyone. Sarva Panishado Gavo Dogda Gopalam Nandana Partovatsa Sudhir Bhukta Dugda Gitamritam Mahat. There's a poem describing the Bhagavad Gita, and it says that Bhagavad Gita is like a cow. And Krishna is famous as a cowherd boy. What do cowherd boys do? Well, they milk cows, that's for sure. So Krishna is milking the cow of the Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna, who is his disciple in the Bhagavad Gita, his friend who becomes his disciple, is like a calf. And the calf is drinking that milk, but the milk is so abundant, it's meant for everyone in the world. So tonight, particularly, we're promoting the Bhagavad Gita. Many of you know Bhagavad Gita, right? Anyone who's heard of Bhagavad Gita, raise your hand. Come on, I don't believe that. Anyone who reads Bhagavad Gita once a month, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. Just think about it. Everyone here who has Bhagavad Gita, everyone who reads Bhagavad Gita once a month, now think about who reads it once a week. How about once a day? Oh, there's some hands, enthusiasts. Mark Twain once said, the person who can't read books and the person who has them but doesn't read them, there's no difference between the two. So we're forming this society, it's an association, as you mentioned, meant to bring people together to hear about the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and to discover this great science of association and see how it works for yourself. It's not mere ritual, but it's something to be experienced. Just as much as if you're hungry and you eat food, you know for yourself that you're becoming satisfied, that your hunger is going away, and that you're getting nourished. The same should be there in a powerful spiritual process. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We have 9.5 minutes, and within that time, what I'd like to get from you, if you would oblige me, is some reflections. One thing that you heard during the talk tonight that's stuck in your mind. Is that too much to ask? Then could everyone please volunteer? Any one thing, one point, one image that's stuck in your mind that you're taking out of here in your pocket. Yes. Do we have another mic?
Yeah.
And please say your name also, sir.
My name is Rashmi. Such a pleasure to hear you here, have you here. The best thing that's stuck in my mind is that you're busy doing good things, missing out on the greatest thing.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay,
give her a hand. Take a few more. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna.
And say your name so everyone knows you.
I am Shyamalangi Devi Dasi, and Hare Krishna to everyone and Vaisheshaki Prabhu. Thank you so much for the wonderful class today. The one thing that stuck in my mind was when you said that Krishna sees in Bhagavad Gita that the one who is a learned sage is one who sees. A learned sage is one who sees everyone with equal vision. It's that really stuck in my mind because it's so important, like, for us to see each and everyone with equal vision. Even though we know that God is in everyone's heart, and as you said, that we are the souls, the body is just the covering, so the soul is seen in everyone. In spite of having that knowledge, it's very difficult to practically implement it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll take three more only, and one in the back.
Hare
Hare Krishna, my name is Sanjay.
Hare Krishna.
It's my first time here, and thank you very much. I hope I do not offend anybody, but the image, the message I'm taking away today, my first time here, is that I come from India, and I've studied my early education in India. And there was a time when I had to study Sanskrit and pass an exam in Sanskrit. I studied for the exam. The exam was gone, the Sanskrit was gone. And today I hear you speak Sanskrit with an accent, and I realize I missed not having learned a different language so I could get some pearls of knowledge and wisdom. And I resolved to do that today, to learn Sanskrit. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Two more.
Hare Krishna. May we please have two more, because they're very nice. I'm enjoying it immensely. Thank you. Please, back here.
Also, if they have a question, let's try.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I have a question. We are associating with the people because of our previous karma, or we have a free will to associate.
When you come to knowledge, then you have free will. When you're in ignorance, then you act according to the movement of the modes of material nature and nothing more. Therefore, there's such a high premium on knowledge. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Jnanagni sarvakarmanam. Jnana means knowledge, of course, as you know. And agni means fire. So there's a jnana agni. And karma is this implication that we have. It's this debt we have, what we're creating more of all the time because of ignorance. But when we get knowledge, then we actually see our opportunity and we see our options. Therefore, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is very much preoccupied with distributing knowledge, because we say that that's the best kind of charity work. Because you can feed people, which we also do, incidentally, but if you give knowledge, then people can free themselves. Therefore, we go house to house to distribute Bhagavad Gita. We make presentations worldwide in order to give people the opportunity. And this is really why Krishna makes the Bhagavad Gita available, is so that we can make our own choice. Is that okay? One more. Oh, goodness. Okay. Yes, right back here in the middle.
Hare Krishna, it was a pleasure nice to hear you, Prabhuji. One thing which I learned today was, during the conversation, is that this is not our actual home. Most of us don't realize this, that we are here for a very small time. We have to go back. But predominantly our thoughts are that we will live here forever. We see people dying, but we don't believe in that. So just to get that realization, that start doing your homework, because very soon you'll be on your way. So just to get into that realization, though we know that we all will die, but that realization does not sink in. We still think that we are here and we will be here forever. So just to think about that thought. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we're going to have an Artik ceremony. So thank you very much again, everyone. It was a pleasure to be with you tonight.
One more time, congratulations.
Okay, are you guys going out? As we go into the art team, we'll be chanting right now, led by Vaishesh Prabhu. At 8:30, we'll have our vegetarian dish served, and you can certainly take the time and that opportunity to come forward and speak with Vaishesh Prabhu and give some words of appreciation. Hare Krishna.
Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Acari Gaura Vandavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
He's leaving.